Hey, time for you to reach your full potential. Getting into health and fitness, this is what you're missing. Going harder, push it to the limit. Go on a journey with genetics coach, Laura Phillips. Yeah, here to take you to the next level. Been in the health and fitness industry since 07. Working with so many athletes, push it to the limit with world champions, yeah, and some Paralympians. Hey, working from Brisbane to Singapore. We train, we going hard, all out, we keep it raw. Laura Phillips, let's go.
Okay, we should be live. I love technical issues as much as the next person. All right, so who's traveling for summer holidays? Summer vacay. You know what rhymes with vacay? Yay. Yay rhymes with vacay. All right, guys, I've been noticing a few patterns when it comes to people going on summer holidays. Actually, I've just been noticing patterns in people's behavior in preparation of this live episode, this live training. I've noticed quite a few things amongst, especially the expat community in Singapore. I'm sure other parts of the world are somewhat similar. The summer holidays, okay, so a lot of people will travel back to their home country if they're from Singapore, perhaps Dubai as well, maybe even Hong Kong. They'll go back to Europe, they'll go back to the US, and they'll go for, let's say, at least 4 weeks, because that's how long we typically go for. And what I'm noticing is that people often have this routine, this annual routine of Jan 1st. Okay, time to hit the ground running because I ate too much and I drank too much over Christmas. But chances are they're still overseas. So that kind of gets delayed until they're back into their usual routine. And let's be honest, it takes people a little while to get back into their usual routine. So it's not until February where people start to feel a little bit more settled. They're back at work, they're back in their day-to-day tasks, they're back into, you know, the usual waking up at 6 o'clock, going to bed at like 9, 10, 11, 12, you know, they're 14-hour days. And people are all in on their fitness from February, March, April, May. Now what happens in June? People start to go on holidays because school's out for summer. June, July, people are not so committed to their health and fitness routines. They're not so committed to their nutrition, they're not so committed to their fitness. They're more committed to their emotional health because they've neglected that for 4 months. They've been knees and elbows deep in work and they feel the need to escape. They feel the need to let off some steam. So we have this big pendulum shift of going all in on their nutrition and their physical fitness for 4 months. And then come June, July, the pendulum swings to being completely focused on their emotional and mental health because that's being deprived and put on the back burner for 4 months. And you can only do that for so long before you go a little cray cray. Come August, everyone returns in August having gained a little bit of weight, 1 to 5 kilos later. People come back in August. Now, I got a ton of new inquiries in August last year, a ton. It honestly was hard to keep up. 6, 7, 8 new inquiries in August. It's testament to how much people let go of the reins on their physical fitness and their nutrition in June and July. Not a good sign. Come August, people are like, okay, time to get back on the bandwagon, time to lose those 1, 2, or 5 kg that I put on during the summer break. And people are committed to their health and fitness for August, September, October, November. And then what happens in December, of course, is Christmas. And then you have people traveling again for Christmas. And this is when Southern Hemisphere has their longer break. You know, from Australia, I know that we have at least 7 or 8 weeks off during that time when not a whole lot happens. You have people from South Africa doing the same thing. I'm sure they have their big break then. And so December, we have an enormous break where the same thing happens. People go all in on catching up with people, getting that connection with loved ones, friends and family. And they have the foods that they don't normally eat because they're not available in the country that they live in. You know, personally, I love a Christmas turkey and cranberry sauce as much as the next person. And that's not as readily available in Singapore. So we're catching up with loved ones. We're having connection time. We're putting our mental health and emotional health first in December over Christmas and January the new year. And then that sometimes even lasts up until Chinese New Year. Okay, so again, if you're in parts of the world such as Hong Kong and Singapore, where it's a big deal and it is a different time of year, each year it's a slightly different date. Sometimes people are like, do you know what? Just F it. Just like, fuck it. I'm going to keep going in abusing my nutrition and abusing my my physical health until I get to see Chinese New Year. And I'm going to see that through. And then I'm going to start, because any excuse to delay something is a good excuse when you're full of excuses and when you don't actually want to change, right? Because change is inconvenient. Change is not easy. It requires you to confront things that are not being confronted. But the magic lies in doing the work that you're avoiding. And I'll say that until people believe me. So we have this awful pattern of behavior where people have a tendency to go all in. They're 10 out of 10, 11 out of 10 committed to their physical fitness and their nutrition. Feb, March, April, May, June. Suddenly not so motivated, about to go on the holidays, need to start packing, need to find new bikinis, need to let off some steam. I am just so overdoing 60-hour weeks that any excuse to not exercise and not eat well, quote-unquote eat well, is going to be a good one and one that I'll use. June, July. So we are emotionally satiated. We've connected with loved ones. We've had time in a different environment. We've let off some steam. So our mental health is probably better. Our emotional health is probably better. But our physical health and nutrition is not so great. And this seems to happen every 6 months because, again, people come back in August and I get enormous amounts of inquiries for August because people have abused themselves for June and July. So August, September, October, November. So 4 months on, 2 months off. That's the routine. It's kind of like Tabata, but in a really weird calendar type way. So August, September, October, November, people are all in on their health and fitness again. Okay. They're doing training 4 or 5 times a week. They're drinking their water. They're trying to stay hydrated. They're counting calories or at least paying attention to what they eat. They're not eating so many cheat foods. They're not drinking out so often. And then everything starts to slow down for Christmas in December and the new year in January. And even Chinese New Year, depending on where that falls within the year as well. So that's the first thing to highlight, is this pattern of behavior, which a lot of people are not going to be so conscious or aware of. But I want you to, first of all, take a look at your normal patterns of behavior as per the calendar. Are there times of the year where you are more focused on your health and fitness and times of the year where you are less focused on your health and fitness? And what contributes to that? Are you still the person who goes, it's my birthday month, so fuck it, I'm just going to eat everything. I'm going to eat cake every single day of the week or every single day of my birthday week because it's my birthday? Or are you the sort of person who's like, it's my birthday, I'm going to be deliberate with what I eat, I'm going to have some cake, but I'm really going to enjoy it, and I'm going to return to my normal way of eating the next day? Because they're two very different frames of mind. And I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. I'm just trying to suggest one may be a little bit more conducive to your health and fitness goals being reached, and one may not be. That's just common sense. So I want you to, first of all, take a look at that. Are there times of the year where you pour more into you when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to physical fitness? And there are times of the year where you pour more into mental and emotional health and connection with others. Is there a way to do all of that all year round? Because let's face it, it's not so healthy to neglect your mental and emotional health for 4 months and work yourself so hard to the point of feeling the need to escape and need to let off steam by just divulging in anything and everything for 1 to 2 months thereafter. So what I'm looking for here is, how do we create an equilibrium and a balance of sorts where we can meet more of our health needs more often? So it's not just February to May and August to November, because let's face it, how much progress can you really make in 4 months? If you are training 3 times a week for 4 months, you can absolutely make progress. Absolutely, you can. Progressive overload. If you have a trainer who knows what they're doing, you absolutely can make progress. Yes. How much of that are you going to keep, and how much behavior can you actually change in 4 months? Not a lot. And I don't say that to be mean or discouraging. I just know that behavior change takes so much longer than you think it does, because people think they're a light switch. They can go from all in to all off. They think they can just flick a switch and just not eat carbs and not desire carbs and not drink alcohol and not miss alcohol. And do you know what? Like, people are just not that simple. People are very complicated because they're emotional beings. And that's what makes us human. So what I want you to understand in hearing this is we have to stop treating yourself like a light bulb. You have to stop treating yourself like a light switch. If you do, in fact, want to create behavioral change, it's going to take more than 4 months. You can't just be committed to your physical fitness and nutrition for 4 months and expect to see a change in terms of how you live your life and in terms of your healthy habits. It takes more than 4 months to create healthy habits and to sustain them. And this is the boring bit, which people are going to switch off. But this is the bit that people need to hear the most, okay? This is not the fun, sexy part. This is not me telling you how many calories you should eat and how to exercise to lose tons of body fat. Because at the end of the day, losing fat requires the same two things, a caloric deficit and sufficient protein. That's it. People like to make it more complicated than that, and marketing will allow you to believe that it's more complicated than that. However, that's not the case. So understand that the more consistent you can be year round, the more progress you will see. You don't want to make progress from Feb until May and then not see more progress until October. Because let's face it, if you return to training in August, you're not going to pick up where you left off. You're not going to be lifting exactly the same weights with exactly the same technique. You're going to be squeaky and rusty and creaky. Your movements are not going to be smooth and buttery. Your movements are going to require some greasing. So the first 4 weeks back at training, you're not really going to be progressing anything. So that's August. September, you might start to see a little bit of improvement and a little bit of change from where you were in August. You're not really going to start to see noticeable progress until October. So from May until October, you're not really seeing any change if you don't have a plan, which is exactly what you need if you want to make progress year round. Okay. So this whole all or nothing approach is what we need to stop. We need to challenge our belief system surrounding the all or nothing behavior, which is keeping a lot of people stuck. This is why a lot of people are not actually getting anywhere, because they're only ever all in on their health and fitness for 4 months, off for 2 months, and then they try and pick up where they started back in, you know, May, come August. That's at the same point, you know, and you want to be a little further ahead than that. You want to feel like you've gotten somewhere. So that's the first thing. The all or nothing approach is what we need to change. How can you be consistent with your nutrition and your physical fitness and doing something that supports your mental health and connection with others every month for the whole year, not just 4 months of the year or 2 months of the year? It doesn't have to be all on the physical and nutrition side of things and then all on the mental and emotional side of things. We should be working at addressing both, all, well, not just both, but both categories, I should say, all year round. So that is the big piece of this to understand. From there, we want to plan, because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So a lot of people are going to go on holidays and just eat whatever and maybe get some steps in, maybe go for a swim, maybe explore a city via foot, and maybe not actually retain a lot of the muscle that they worked so hard to build for the last 4 months. So you need some sort of a plan. And why wouldn't you want to plan? I mean, muscle is such an effort to build. Why wouldn't you want to work hard at retaining that? I honestly just don't understand. No one has ever come to me and said, you know what? That was really smart of me to stop training for 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks. No one has ever told me that that felt like a good idea to them. Every single person who has taken time off training has regretted it. Facts. Okay. So have a plan. There are so many pieces of equipment you can get either on the ground or you can order ahead of time, for example, from Amazon. So you can get those elastic bands, the stretch bands with the handles on them. They are great. You can get bands to loop around your knees, which you can use to squat with. They're excellent. Very, very easy to travel with. No, it's not the same as doing a goblet squat, or is the same as doing a pendulum, the same as doing a hack squat, the same as doing a back squat. No, it's not the same. But how much muscle mass do you want to lose and at what cost? Because again, if you come back from having a month off, you have to understand the effects of detraining start to occur within 2 weeks. So the gains that you have built and created from all of your training, we start to lose some of that within 2 weeks of stopping. Okay. So within 2 weeks of you not exercising, 2 weeks, you know, so 14 consecutive days of you not training, we start to lose those benefits and those gains and that progress. That's That's really quick. And it's even less than 2 weeks for some people. Okay. So within 2 weeks, you're going to start to lose those gains and those benefits. If you want to mitigate that, you have to have some sort of plan. So equipment, look at where you're staying. Look at the accommodation. Are there benches and is there a gym? Are there dumbbells? Dumbbells and benches, you can do so much with dumbbells and benches. Like, honestly, that's what I had during lockdown. I had adjustable dumbbells. I had a bench. I was lucky. I also had a barbell. But you can do so many exercises for every single body part with those two items. So you can order that ahead of time. You can order it off Amazon. If you don't have a gym where you're staying, if you don't have a little area where you can set up a workout space, they are two very, very easy things to acquire. You could even get, for example, an exercise ball. If you don't have a bench, but you have a Swiss ball or an exercise ball, sometimes you can use that in lieu of a bench. And it's, again, not the best piece of equipment in the universe, but there's some great ab work you can do in there. You can use it to do wall squats. You can use it to do ab rollouts. You can use it, again, in place of a bench. There's a ton that you can do if you're creative. And when there's a will, there's a way. So I really, really believe in having a plan is super, super, super important. Don't just turn up and be like, well, let's hope for the best. You know, for me, when I travel, I do my best to get my workout done first thing in the day, so I have the rest of the day to explore. So moving on to how you incorporate this into a routine, start the day with a high protein breakfast, okay? If you prefer to exercise on an empty stomach, then you know what feels good for you and your body, then do that. But for me, it's get up, put my activewear on, get out of the house. My walk to the gym is my warm-up. I'm very fortunate that my mom is really near to an Anytime Fitness that I can, you know, just swipe and go. So that is a 10-15 minute walk. I'm already warmed up by the time I get there. I get some sunshine, I get some fresh air. And by the time I arrive, I am ready to go. Okay. Now that is a gym set up. So if you don't know what you'll have access to, you can always Google that ahead of time too. If you have access to a 24-hour gym, even better, especially with jet lag and especially with trying to coordinate with different time zones, you don't want to have to wait for a gym to open. You want to be able to go when you are ready. So have that in the back of your mind. How can you just turn up and go and remove all the friction that may interfere with you getting a workout done? Workout is done, that's great. Okay, if you can walk there and walk back to get some, you know, steps in, to get some sunshine, to get the sunlight on the skin and into the eyes. Remember, we need 10,000 lux of light before 9 a.m. to make sure that you have cue to the brain and the body. It's time to go. Okay, that's going to help you also adjust to the new time zone and get your circadian rhythms, you know, in rhythm, essentially, you know, adjusting to that new space. So that is really, really, really critical. Make sure you are doing that. Following that, we want protein. Okay, so a lot of people are going to want to be eating different foods. They want to be drinking more, maybe more desserts. That's fine. How do we make sure we prioritize protein? Because that is going to help you to retain the muscle mass that you've worked so hard to build. It's also going to keep you feeling fuller for longer. Okay, so there's two huge benefits there. It's satiety and also maintaining muscle mass. We do not ever want to lose muscle mass, guys. That is just such a nightmare to have to work to rebuild. And like, honestly, we don't got time for that. So what I want for you is to make sure you have a high protein breakfast. What does this look like? Your choice. We like eggs. Eggs are great. Honestly, like scrambled eggs are super, super, super healthy. Easy way to get more vegetables as well. So mushrooms, arugula, rocket, spinach, onion, bell peppers all go really, really well with eggs. So eggs are your best friend, especially at breakfast. Very, very predictable, often available in hotels. And if you're staying in a hotel, then obviously that's something you want to gravitate towards. It could look like chicken. Look, if you're staying in a hotel and they've got that on offer, great. Personally, if there's bacon, I'm going to get some bacon if I'm on holidays. Okay, like, girl can't lie. I like bacon. It's salty. It's kind of sweet. It's fatty. Like, it ticks a lot of boxes, you know? And that's a really important point I want to make, is be deliberate with your choices. So no one here is saying, hey, go on holidays and only eat rabbit food and be miserable and make every single day exercise, you know, focused. Spend the first 4 hours of every single day exercising. No, but equally, I feel a lot of people try and convince themselves that the reason why they can't stick to a diet is because they enjoy food too much, which is absolute bullshit. Do you know who likes food? I like food, okay? So there's enjoying your food mindlessly, which to me is not enjoyment, and then there's being intentional and being deliberate, which is very, very, very different experience. Choose your indulgences. If you are drinking every single day on holidays, chances are you're not really enjoying those drinks. If you are eating ice cream every single day on holidays, chances are you're not really eating ice cream for the sake of enjoyment. Chances are you're just doing that as like a reflex to the fact that you're on holidays, okay? And I get that it's summer and you might be at the beach, and beach, ice cream kind of go hand in hand. I get it. But what is the reason for you eating that ice cream? Is it simply because you walked past and you're like, oh, we're here, might as well have ice cream? Or is it, do you know what? Like, I actually really genuinely feel like ice cream. When you do things from a place of intentionality and when you are deliberate in your choices, the experience is completely different. And that is the part that people don't understand. That is the part that people are missing. And this is where people just eat out of FOMO, or they eat from perceived social pressure. Okay. So with all that said, yes, enjoy the different foods, enjoy drinks if you enjoy drinking, but be intentional, because I would argue if you're not being intentional, then you're not truly enjoying the experience. And then whatever is the point? Because anyone could eat anything for the sake of it. That doesn't make it a pleasant experience. So I just wanted to highlight that. I think a lot of people are just going to drink and eat because it's convenient, because there's food in front of them, because there's friends around them who might have something to say if you didn't drink or if you didn't eat dessert, if you didn't eat the same way as them. And let them. Who cares? That's on them. That is a them problem. If they have a problem with you not drinking, with you not eating dessert, with you choosing to eat in a different way to them, that is a them problem. Okay. So that is something I really wanted to make clear, is whilst it's all well and good to eat different foods, and that often happens on holiday. Again, I love me some turkey and cranberry sauce. I love a bread and butter pudding. If that is at a breakfast buffet, chances are I'm going to end up with a bit of that on my plate and use it as pre-workout carbs. But again, that's me being intentional. I'm intentionally consuming those carbs before training. I personally like bread and butter pudding. So that is, again, me making a deliberate choice. I'm not putting bread and butter pudding and a brownie and a croissant and a pain au chocolat and a macaron. And why are they all French? But the French really like sweet food, don't they? And a parfait and an eclair and you name it. I'm not adding every single dessert item to my plate, because that would not be intentional on my part. That would me just being like, oh, look, there's sweet food. Oh, look, there's fatty food. Oh, look, there's sweet food. Oh, look, there's pastry. And that's not where I want to operate from when it comes to me living my life. I want to live a life that is intentional, because when you're intentional and deliberate, you get results. When you're not, you end up just being a victim of the circumstances that you invariably create, but may not realize that you've created. So that's a huge piece in all of this, is if you are drinking at every meal, if you are drinking every day, if you're eating ice cream every day, if you are having a cheat meal, but you're having like 2-3 cheat meals a day, then are you really being purposeful and are you really being intentional? My argument is no. You know, being intentional requires you to go within and connecting with yourself and your desires and your goals and asking yourself, is this going to move the needle on my goals? Is this going to get me closer to where I want to be? And if the answer is no, then why? Why are you making that choice? Is it to prove to yourself that you'll never have the body that you dream of having? You'll never have the body of your dreams. Chances are it's going to fuel some sort of self-sabotaging cycle for you. And that is something worth looking into. The whole piece of this is having self-awareness. What really changes these patterns of behavior is self-awareness, which requires you to reflect, which requires you to ask questions, which requires you to challenge your belief system, and then ask yourself if that belief system is serving you. And if not, well, how can you evolve that? Because if you've had the same pattern of thoughts for X amount of time, that will continue to exist in that way unless you make an effort to change it, to shift it, to evolve it. So that is really, really important when it comes to creating new patterns of behavior. But again, how much self-awareness are you building? What is your daily practice of building self-awareness? Most people don't have one. Most people can't answer that question. Moving along. Breakfast. We touched a little bit on breakfast. So high protein. For me, I'm going to try and get at least 30 grams of protein, because chances are if I'm on holidays, I'm going to be having two meals instead of three. My second meal being lunch is not always as predictable. And often I will eat dinner out, or I will eat lunch out. So again, that's me being intentional with my choices. On my previous trip back home over Christmas last year, I was eating lunch out and I chose something very high protein. So it was essentially a chicken stir fry. Chicken, filling, high protein. Most of you who work with me will know that it's at least 30 grams of protein per 100 grams. This was a very generous portion. It would have been over 100 grams easily. Stir fry. Why stir fry? Because I like it. Oddly enough, I don't get to eat it very often in Singapore. I think that's like a white person Asian food, if I can say that and still be somewhat politically correct. I really like stir fry. I grew up eating stir fry. My dad makes a mean stir fry. And I like vegetables. Okay, so vegetables, we get fiber from vegetables, very filling. And if you know me, I get hungry very often and I don't like spending my holiday being hungry. That's why we want to fill up on protein and ensure we're getting a nice amount of fiber in our meals. So for me, it's going to be two major meals, at least. The second or third one not being as predictable in the sense that I'm not always as certain that I'm going to be getting a lunch or a breakfast from a predictable source. And I usually choose to not indulge, but I will have those meals out, if that makes sense. So starting the day sets the tone. You know, what I find with people who train on Monday is it really sets them up for the week ahead. So starting the day with a really high protein, very clean and lean breakfast, for lack of better words, is a great way to set the tone for the rest of the day. And when people start the day eating a good breakfast and exercising, it kind of encourages them to keep the ball rolling, you know? So look at how you start the day, and is that setting you up for success? If not, you may want to reconsider your routines for the day. Going into other really sensible things you can do, checking your accommodation. What my parents did really well growing up, when we were staying at the beach, we'd often go to Mooloolaba, which is on the Sunshine Coast back home, is we stayed somewhere which had a kitchenette, so like a mini kitchen. Great way to stay on track with food, because then you can store all of your breakfast items there. So we would take things like eggs and ham and bread so that we could have, obviously, ham and eggs on toast for breakfast. It's a great way to keep you in that normal routine where you have quote-unquote healthy options on hand. Stocking up on high-protein snacks too. So I know a lot of people are concerned that they're going to get caught at security and have security asking questions about their very suspicious powder in their bag. Let me assure you, I have traveled a gazillion times with protein powder and creatine. And creatine looks a lot more like cocaine than protein powder, okay? Not once have I ever been stopped. Not once has anyone asked about it. So you are good to go when it comes to traveling with products such as whey protein powder and creatine for those of you who are taking creatine. Easy go-to option. All you need is to put a little bit in a shaker, mix with water, mix with your preferred milk, and you're going to get about 25 grams of protein per protein shake for a standardized serve. Okay, simple. Guys, like just take a big Tupperware container of protein powder with you. Again, if you're traveling somewhere, you can always have it ordered to your place of accommodation. Easy enough to do too. I once ordered 10 boxes of protein bars to my mom's house. She wasn't happy with me, but they were on sale, so it's justified. And I think I finally managed to eat all of them since that happened. So we're on better terms now. But you understand what I'm saying. A protein bar is easy to put in your handbag. So when you're shopping, you also don't want to be slowing down when you're shopping. Okay. If there's good Boxing Day sales on, you don't want to have to slow down to have a snack because you don't know what might be 70% off. Do you know? So snacks are really important for good shopping. Also for not going hangry. And not upsetting your mother because you're hangry. So that is really, really, really critical in that aspect. Okay, so adding to that hydration component, we want to look at hydration. You know Penelope, my 2-liter water bottle? Penelope Peach is her full name. Actually, I'm getting really thirsty. I'm going to have a sip. So obviously when you're flying, you're going to get a bit dehydrated. If you've seen my tips on flying, I did a live training on how to mitigate the negative health effects of long-haul flights. If you haven't seen that, if you want a copy, just send me a message, drop a note in the comment box. I'll send you a copy. It's really important to hydrate before your flight. You cannot be getting to the airport and then trying to chug down 6 liters of water. It's too late. That is really not the time to be hydrating. You need to be trying to hydrate at least 48 hours before your flight because you are going to need that hydration. If you want to get off the plane and not look like a prune and not look like you're 100 years old because your skin is so dehydrated, you need to start 48 hours beforehand at least. Personally, a week before a long haul flight, I will be proactively increasing my water intake and I will continue to proactively increase my water intake for at least 3 days after I land. And having a water bottle with a strap on it really helps because it's just easy to carry around with you. And you know what? It's kind of like a little bit of a weight. So because it weighs 2 kilograms when it's full, it's a little bit of a like a secret way to keeping some of those gains and obviously staying hydrated too. So hydration is really important, especially if you want to see that change in body composition because your digestion is going to be massively compromised when you're on a long haul flight. You're eating at different times than what you would normally be eating. You know, you might be having a meal at midnight local time, which is very, very different to having your normal dinner time, your normal lunch time. Your sleep is going to be off kilter. You're just in a very, very different space when it comes to trying to digest with jet lag and when you're not in your normal routine. So water is going to be key. And again, if you haven't seen my live training on how you can optimize your performance and energy levels following a long haul flight, leave me your email, send me a message, and I'll get that over to you because I went through a lot of supplements that you can take and a lot of different strategies you can use to optimize the long haul flight situation because it's a big source of stress on the body to go through that. Again, digestion is completely off. And when digestion is off, energy levels are off. And you know, you're on holiday, so you want to feel good. So moving on from hydration, guys, we've pretty much gone through everything. I think a lot of this just comes down to looking at your patterns of behavior. So again, this all or nothing approach is really keeping people stuck in a cycle of only really making progress for 4 months at a time and then kind of staying stagnant, plateauing, even going backwards in some instances, before they then try and pick up where they left off. So if you're the sort of person who is all in on their health and fitness for Feb, March, April, May, then come June, you're like, oh, fuck it. I have done so many 60-hour weeks. I have replied to so many assholes in my workplace. I have completely had it up to here in doing other people's jobs and working with incompetent people that I just cannot anymore. I need to let off some steam. I need to go hang out with my friends. I need to go see my family. I need to go have a drink and another drink and another drink and maybe a not great food choice and a not great food choice and another not great food choice. You know, at what point do you spot that behavior? At what point do you spot that cycle and do something about it and intervene? Because that's going to continue if your life style remains the same. So sometimes you do need to work 60-hour weeks, I'm sure. Sometimes you do need to work 14, 15, 16 hour days. Sometimes you do need to travel for 12 hours, 14 hours a day every 2, 3, 4 weeks. That's not an easy lifestyle to have, but you should know how that's contributing to your health. You should make an effort to understand how that's keeping you stuck. And no one likes to be stuck, especially high performing women, because we like to think we have our shit together. We like to not just excel and succeed, we like to be like the top 1%. So if there's an area of our life where we don't feel that we have it together and where we don't feel as proficient, we get enormously frustrated. And I see a lot of women wondering why they can't quite get to that level that they want when it comes to their body composition, when it comes to their health. And it's because they're only ever really committed for, again, 4 months at a time. How much progress can you make in 4 months? You can make some decent progress, but are you going to be able to sustain that and keep that? No, because behavioral change takes time. It takes at least 10 weeks to form a new habit. And think about all the healthy habits you have to build to create the body that you so desire. That's a lot of habits you need to form. You need to drink 4 liters of water a day. Most people don't do that. You need to be getting 7 or 8 hours of sleep a day. Most people, including myself, are not doing that. You need to be getting 1.5 grams of protein per kilo of body weight per day. Most people are barely even getting 1 gram of protein per kilo of what they weigh per day. That's just three things. Okay, where else do we go from here? You probably need to be dedicating 15 minutes to mindfulness each day. That's something that I'm currently working on. How do I build more mindfulness time into my day-to-day routine, where you're connecting with your thoughts and your feelings and taking time to reflect on that and make sense of that on a deeper level? Most people are not doing that. Okay, so that's four things right there. Most people are not getting 5 servings of vegetables a day. Vegetables, micronutrients, vitamins, minerals. We need that for performance. We need that so that we don't end up with nutritional deficiencies. Nutritional deficiencies don't help with your energy levels. They also don't help with your performance in the gym. I'm running out of fingers. I'm counting on my fingers for those of you listening. So there's so many things right there which we need to work on. Oh my God, step count. How many people are getting more than 4,000 steps a day? If you have an office job, if you have a corporate, if you work in corporate, how many of you are getting more than 4,000 steps a day? A lot of people are not even getting 2,500 if they're working from home. Now, you might be on your feet. You might have a standing desk, and that's great. If you can't get so many steps in during the day, the next best thing you can do is focus on how many hours a day you spend standing. But even with that said, 2,500 steps is nothing. That's barely a kilometer, okay? So step count. How do we get 5,000? How do we get 8,500? How do we get 10,000? How do we get 12,000? There's a positive linear relationship between step count and longevity and quality of life up until 16,000 steps a day. So ideally, we're getting more like 16,000 steps a day, not just 10,000. And I don't want to put you off when I say that, but that's just the truth. That's just what science currently reveals. So as you can see, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. It's not just go all in on your health and fitness for 4 months, for Feb, March, April, May, completely kill yourself at work doing 14, 15, 16 hour days, completely kill yourself doing long haul flights, Singapore to London, London to Sydney, Sydney to Dubai, all within a month, which a lot of people are doing, and then wondering why you have no energy and you have no motivation to work on your health and fitness, going, fuck it, I'm going to let off some steam. I'm going to go chill with my friends in Bali. I'm going to go spend time with my family in the UK. I'm going to go see my cousin in Canada, which is where my brother lives, by the way. It's all about what patterns of behavior you currently have and identifying if those patterns of behavior are serving you and what belief systems are tying into your habits, okay? Because your habits are a direct reflection of your behaviors and your behaviors are a direct reflection of your belief system. So if you believe that you have to live your life going all in whilst completely compromising your mental and emotional health, then of course it's going to fucking backfire on you. Of course you're going to end up with absolutely no fucks to give and no bandwidth to improve your physical health and fitness, no bandwidth to count how many calories you consumed or log how much protein you've had into chronometer, because you have completely given too much of yourself into only one area of your life and your life has become so one-dimensional that there's just no fun left in it anymore. And people need variety. So when I was speaking to an emotional health expert in a podcast episode, which is yet to be released, and we were talking about fulfillment and burnout and overwhelm. And what she was mentioning is that a lot of people feel this way because there's no variety. They go to the same workplace, they speak to the same people, they do the same tasks, they go home, they have the same conversations with their family, they go to bed. And variety is really the spice of life. So if you're putting everything into your physical fitness and everything into your nutrition and everything into your work, at some point your life might feel a bit one-dimensional and a bit boring. And of course, people tend to operate in extremes because they forget the piece in between the extremes. All that gray space is there to be explored and enjoyed. And this whole mentality of going all in for 4 months at a time and then going all off, the pendulum has to swing at some point if there's no equilibrium. Because at some point we have to create a homeostasis. So we can only be at one extreme for so long, and then naturally we have to go to the other extreme. So what's the solution? Stop operating in extremes and make an effort to understand why your belief system only allows you to operate in extremes. That's the really critical part right there. Don't just avoid operating in extremes. That's a really not helpful thing for me to say. The more helpful part of that is to understand, why does your brain think you can only ever operate in extremes? What beliefs do you have surrounding that? What has contributed to that? And what are you doing to allow yourself to create success outside of extremes? It's a huge component to the work I do with the busy women I train, is exploring the gray space, exploring the not extreme components to this whole health and fitness thing. Sometimes turning up is a victory, you know? And when you give yourself permission to see your own success, especially when it isn't all in or all out, that's where people really start to see some tangible progress. That's where people really start to get ahead. So in trying to avoid this mid-year weight gain and not coming back from Europe having gained 5 kilos, make an effort ahead of time to understand, what behaviors do you currently engage in which are maybe contributing to that? What belief system do you have which are contributing to that behavior? Because your behaviors reflect your belief system. So do you believe that you can only ever be all in or all out? Do you believe that you can only ever see results when you are completely exhausted all the time, where you have to count all of your calories and count all of your grams of protein for the day and take 15 different supplements and have, you know, goat milk chai lattes for breakfast on a fasted stomach and do 1 hour of fasted cardio before getting to work? You're like, what are your belief systems surrounding fitness and nutrition and your lifestyle and like how you live? That is critical in creating any sort of shift or change, because if what you are doing is not working for you, something has to change, right? So in ascertaining what needs to change, you first need to reflect within and understand your belief system surrounding becoming a healthier human. That's the part that most people don't do because it's confronting, it's uncomfortable, it doesn't seem like it's worth the time. Most of us just feel it's easier to punish ourselves by going to the gym and pushing harder and lifting heavier, and punish ourselves for not being lighter and not having the body of our dreams and for eating shit food. It was Taco Tuesday. I ate 12 tacos. I'm such a bad person. Now I have to go to the gym and burn it all off. Do you like that sort of dialogue starts to set in? So what self-talk do you have which is keeping you in these cycles of behavior which are not helping you move the needle? How consistent can you be at being proactive and working on your physical fitness and nutrition and emotional health and mental health and social health? So connecting with other people, your relationships with, you know, loved ones, colleagues, friends, family. How consistent can you be at addressing all of that every month? Not just in December when it's Christmas, not just at the work Christmas party, not just at the New Year party, not just at the Chinese New Year party, not just at summer vacay. How good are you and how proactive are you at incorporating those practices on a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis, on a month-to-month basis, so that you do not have to fluctuate between all in and all off or all out? That is the part that a lot of people don't get. That's the piece that a lot of people are going to overlook. A lot of people are going to be like, yeah, Laura, cool shit. See you in August. I don't want that for you. Okay. You have to understand that the more you understand about yourself, the more proactive you can be, the better plan you can have ahead of June and July, the more weight gain you can mitigate and not gain for that matter, come June and July. So it's a bit of a rant, this one. apologies for rambling, but I hope you understand that a lot of this weight gain is because people are mindlessly consuming food, they're mindlessly consuming alcohol, and they're not connected with their surroundings, they're not connected with the people, they're not connected with the moment, they're not connected with the food. They are just trying to escape their mundane life from Feb to May, and then from August to November. How do you avoid needing to escape? You create fulfillment. How do you create fulfillment? You bring yourself into alignment. How do you bring yourself into alignment? You look at how you're living your life and ask yourself, does that match with what you want for yourself? Does that align? Is that cohesive? Is that coherent with how you want to live your life? A lot of people will not be able to say that it does. For most people, that's not the case. And that's cool. But you have to understand that this is going to continue until you make an effort to align the two. When there's coherence and cohesion between how you are living your life and the vision you have of your life, then you get fulfillment. And when you have fulfillment, you don't need to escape. Or at least when you do escape, you can be a lot more, deliberate and intentional. And then it's momentary. You know, you can have pockets of escaping. You don't need to let steam off for a whole month because you worked yourself into the ground for four, you know, during 60-hour weeks, for 4 months, for 5 months, for 6 months. Of course, you're going to feel the need to escape because what you're doing is taking away. When you are fulfilled, you don't feel that your work is taking away. You feel that your work is adding. And when you feel fulfilled, I mean, chances are you enjoy life a lot more. And when people like themselves and like their lives, they look after themselves. Again, you don't need to escape when you feel fulfilled. So avoiding weight gain, I guess, during summer break, it is very psychological. It's in the sense that it's a lot more about understanding how you live life month to month from Jan to June or Jan to July, and how you live your life from July to December. And what patterns do you see from yourself? And again, ask yourself, is that how you want to live your life? If the answer is no, then why? Why are you living a life that you don't want to, especially when you have so much opportunity? The chances of being born a human are 400 trillion to one. So a lot of people will say, you know, life is unfair. Is it fair that you're living a life that doesn't leave you feeling fulfilled though? I would say no. Is it fair that people have been taken away from this earth who really, really love their life, who really, really, really were creating the life of their dreams and they were taken away too soon, and you are watching this doing a job that you hate because it pays the bills, but you know that you have other options? Like, is that fair? No, not really. So some big ass questions you'd ask yourself this morning, and some patterns of behavior to make sense of if you want to mitigate weight gain during summer vacay. Well, ask yourself, do you have a plan? What is the plan? Is your plan to leave the country, go somewhere else and just do whatever, eat whatever, drink whatever, maybe go for a walk one day, maybe go for a swim one day, and operate from a space of reactiveness, reaction, instead of proactiveness? That's not much of a plan. And I hate to say, but August is when I get a lot of inquiries from people who have gone abroad and quote unquote enjoyed life, but not really intentionally. And that's hard to see because doing things from a space of, you know, FOMO is not a nice space to be operating from. There shouldn't be a fear of missing out on food when chances are you're missing out on living the best life possible because you are so wrapped up in so many other things that don't matter. You kind of miss the chance to get the most out of life. So yeah, we went on a little bit of a tangent today, but that's okay. I hope that makes sense. Look, if you have any other questions, please drop them in the comments below. If you want a copy of this recording, just send me your email address. I'll be sure to get that over to you. And if you have suggestions on the next topic, let me know, please, because I always want to cover topics that are of interest to you. This whole week will be reels on Instagram. So if you're following me, then thank you. If you're not, why not? It's at Team Laura Phillips, PHILLIPS. That is my Instagram handle. So make sure you're there to catch all of my reels going into the same topic, just a little bit more in depth this week. suggestions on other topics are always appreciated though. So if you want my 1% Women framework, again, send me your email address. This is what I cover with women all the time. This is what I'm currently working on with my clients, is we are ordering things off Amazon that they can travel with. We are organizing Zoom sessions so that they're going to continue to see the gains that they've worked so hard to build and mitigate muscle loss, because ain't no one got time for losing muscle. I know that you can do the same thing. So let me show you how. Reach out if you want to receive my 1% Women framework, and if you want to avoid and mitigate muscle mass loss during your summer vacay. You do not have to lose weight over summer holidays. You don't have to gain weight during summer holidays. You do not have to gain weight every time you go to Europe. You do not have to gain weight every time you go overseas. It's not necessary. But again, if you have no plan, then you are essentially planning to fail, and you shouldn't be surprised if that happens. So choice is yours. You either send me a DM and ask me for more info, or you just keep doing what you've always done and you keep getting the same results that you've always got. So that is on your shoulders. Thank you for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you in the next live training.
Guys, that's it. That's a wrap. That's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Real Talk with your gal pal. That's me, Laura Rogers. Please be sure to leave us a review, give us your feedback on what else you would like me to talk about. I always want to deliver content on things that excite you and that are going to benefit you in your health and fitness journey. So do give us a review. Before you forget, I know you're busy. I got to run off and record another episode. Do check us out on the other social media platforms listed below as well, because you might just like what you see or hear there. So, you know, be sure to do that. I look forward to catching up with you in the next episode. And again, please leave us a review. Let us know your thoughts. It would mean the absolute world to me. Stay healthy, and I'll see you in the next one.